Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Now that the fall training and seminar and teaching system is revving up, I was thinking about the number one priority of all animals, including humans, which is to establish and protect the physical and mental space. As a teacher and seminar giver, I know that when I'm going to teach a class, one of the first things I want to do is get the lay of the land. I don't want to walk into a classroom or a conference room or an auditorium cold and immediately launch into the subject of my presentation. I want to know the physical setup. I want to know where the light switches are. If there's a sound system, I want to know how to control it. If I'm a participant in such an activity, I also like to get there early. More often than not as early as the teacher and the instructor, but still early. When I first became a veterinarian, I would pick my seat relative to its closeness to the speaker. Not too close, but not too far away either. I used to watch my male colleagues who arrived early. They always took the seats by the aisle or closer to the back door. At first, I thought they took the aisle seats because they wanted more room to stretch out, and sometimes that is a case. Later on, when women outnumbered men in veterinary meetings and a lot of other animal-related meetings I attended, I discovered another reason for their seating choices, and I soon adopted them myself. When I first started out in my profession, women never had to wait in line at a restroom. Because there were so few of us, it wasn't an issue. And it was the long line of males outside of the men's restroom that you always saw. Now it's no longer like that. Because it isn't, and because I have what some might refer to as a more mature bladder, I find myself taking aisle seats or sitting in the back so I can slip out more easily if I have to. So I think all of us, as teachers, as students, we like to get the lay of the land. The reason I was thinking about this is in terms of how seldom we permit the animals we're going to be working with and their owners to do the same thing. Here we have an animal whose perception is umpteen times more sensitive to sounds and scents and motions than we are. And yet, we expect that animal to walk into a training room or even an outdoor class cold. And we expect their owners or handlers to do exactly the same thing. That seems so insensitive to me. The only reason I can imagine we would want to do that, aside from just having never given it a thought before, is because we lack confidence. Surely we wouldn't do it because we want the animals to be so distracted by what's going on around them that they can't pay attention, particularly to something so esoteric as out-of-context commands. Surely we don't want to make the owners or handlers miserable by exposing their lack of control over this animal, to make them feel flustered and unsure of themselves so that they can't communicate confidence and self-control to the animal. I suspect it's just another one of those many things about animals that we just don't even think about. We just assume that whatever we want, they'll somehow get it. Whatever we accept, they'll somehow accept. Reminds me of the four agreements yet again. A major one being, assume nothing. And yet when it comes to our animals, we do it all the time. So the next time you sign up for a class, or you teach a class, think about this. If you're an instructor, think about giving your students and their animals time and opportunity to come in and just get the lay of the land when few people are around and there are few distractions. Let them walk around and get used to it. And if you're an instructor, think about all you do prior to a class and how you approach the physical environment. Do you blow in at the last minute into a room you've never seen before and immediately start talking? Or do you check out the area beforehand? If you do, and even if you don't, maybe it's time to consider giving the human and animal students in your classes that opportunity too.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.